Welcome to this episode of the English Premier League French in Sri Lanka podcast. It's the 17th of May 2020, and today we'll be talking about how COVID-19 has affected the way we watch and consume football. Thank you for listening in, and hope you enjoy this show. Okay, so how do I start this? This is really interesting. So,
Hi guys, how are you? What's happening?
My name is Vajira, I'm 30 years old. I'm from.
I'd like to sing a song,
and I'd like to sing the Liverpool. Impartial.
For
okay.
God's sake.
Right, so. This
let's
see. That's Liverpool gorilla marketing.
I'm neutral, Majang. So I'll try and not pick sides, but obviously there is a small place for Liverpool in my heart. So
yeah,
but
sure,
anyways,
sure,
so. So, for anyone who's joining the podcast through audio and who doesn't know most of our members, some people might watch our videos and might know the members, but I'll quickly, just for the people who's new in the group and basically for as protocol, I'll just go through our panel today. So representing Arsenal, we have Eranger, and Feroz was supposed to be here, but unfortunately he had some issues connecting. So unfortunately it'll be just Eranger just carrying the flag for the Arsenal supporters. Namit and Vidusha will be representing the Chelsea supporters. Hisham and Randhika is representing the Liverpool gang. Shehan was supposed to represent Manchester. Well, he is representing Manchester United. Not that he decided to change teams last minute, but unfortunately, he just can't make it. I just got a message from him. So Shehan won't be with us representing Man United. And Rehan is representing Newcastle. And hosted by yours truly, admin and founder of the English Premier League Fans in Sri Lanka, Vajira. So let me... Hello, guys.
Hi.
So let me start off by... It's more like... Let me get to the first question by sharing some interesting statistics. Not just statistics, like it's an interesting fact. So, does anyone here remember the last Premier League game for this calendar year?
Last Premier League game. Oh, damn. That's a good one.
Which year was that?
2020, before COVID-19 stopped the game.
The last set of games was the Champions League games,
Champions League
Atletico
games.
Liverpool.
Yeah, Atletico Liverpool. But the last Premier League game was on the 9th of March. Leicester versus Aston Villa. So, this is the fun fact, all right? So, since the last Premier League game was played, it was 5,961,600 seconds. 99,360 minutes. 1,656 hours. 69 days. 9 weeks and 6 days. And here's the really interesting number. It's 18.85% of 2020. That is a big number that we've gone without football. So I'll actually put it to the Chelsea fans. Care to tell me how you guys are surviving? I know it's, according to Bill Shankly, it's life or death, right, Randhika? But how have you guys managed to cope without the Premier League? I'll put it to Chelsea fans first.
It's been tough because it felt like the team was really coming together, and the last performance, like, I think it was Everton, and Lampard had just bought Billy Gilmore into the team, And we played really well in that game. And just when we were getting into some momentum, it looked like we were going to crescendo, this, this happens. And yeah, it was setting up for a brilliant, brilliant finish because so many people were in contention for the top four. United were making a comeback. There was always Wolves in our side mirrors. So it was going to be a really interesting end to the season. And yeah, I mean, I always say like those, the 2 hours on the weekend, those are the only 2 hours where I'm completely free, whether we win, lose or draw. Those 2 hours of football, you just, it's just what you look forward to.
Exactly.
To there throughout the week.
You kind of forget everything else for about, for that 2 hours.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question? Can I just interrupt? Was that Gilmore's first match?
Bro, he played the game before also. I don't recall.
No, he did play before.
He played Liverpool. The game before.
The FA Cup.
Yeah. It was the FA Cup.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
No, but like the man of the match performance was the one against Everton, was it?
Both. Everton and the Liverpool game, both games he was man of the match.
All right, okay.
So he was a real shame because, you know, when a kid comes into the scene like that and he's gathering momentum, the last thing you want is to go on a hiatus like this.
Yeah.
So he has to gather himself again and start all over, basically.
Just to add to that, I agree with what like Namit said about, you know, the kid has to get back up and, you know, but if he can't do that, there's no reason for us to believe that he will do that in the future as well. You know, players are supposed to go through situations like this. This can be COVID. True. You know, there are other forms of the same situation that happens. You know, maybe like a dip in form. You know, maybe someone said some shit to him in the. Sorry, you're not supposed to say shit, is it?
No, that's fine. That's allowed.
That's allowed. You know, you. You can, you might go through some stuff in the dressing room, you know, you might have an issue with your manager, whatever, you know, if you can't come through things like this, that means however you are talented, however much you are talented, I think most of us here, you know, we played some sports, so we all know talent can only take you.
Very true.
Fully as mental, far.
Mental right? fortitude.
Your mental game is, yeah.
Yeah, on a personal level, I know like Namit kind of touched on that. Like the 2 hours is actually just your time to get frustrated or be happy with the performance.
Correct.
Like how badly have you, Namit yourself and Vidush, how badly have you guys missed football? And
I mean that is that I mean that goes without saying. Like we miss football a lot. You know, like that's. I mean sometimes we. I know I'm married. Most of you guys are married. Most of you guys have girlfriends who look forward to spending time with you on the weekend. So does my wife and all of yours. So sometimes we make plans solely based on those 2 hours and what time those matches are on. And then, you know, we get a lot of shit from our wives for that. But we still keep going. We still keep going on and on. And then we just, you know, curate so many plans. We take different movies for lunch. But just in time, we come for the match home. Or just in time, we know when to meet, with our wives or whatever it is, you know. So, you know, we've missed that because we do make a lot of sacrifices as well. I wouldn't call it sacrifices, but, you know, we do a lot of things that revolves around us watching the game on weekends. So, we definitely miss that for sure.
Yeah.
Thinking of it in like a player perspective, you know, player safety should be first.
Yep.
You know, I think before we like start the league, everything should be cleared 100%, which I don't think will happen, but then it should. So you know, personally, it's kind of bad. So you know, sometimes you're really happy with the cricket also being played sometimes on weekends. You know, it's nice to have weekend of sports. You know,
made it worse actually because there's nothing to replace the football.
nothing at all. Nothing
at
all.
You can only binge so many shows.
Yeah.
Until you eventually run out.
And Netflix and, you know.
Yeah.
And,
There's so much you can do, rough. But a really interesting question. I think this, you guys, the Chelsea guys might be knowing Angry Ratnam. So he must be really chilled these days. You know that guy who goes on YouTube and then blasts the Chelsea team? He must be really relaxed these days.
Is it angry Ratnam or a angry rant man?
Oh,
rant man.
Is it? Oh, I thought it was his name. I just learned something new.
That's profiling, man. Not Ratnam, man.
Not his name.
I thought he was angry Ratnam. he's from India, so it's a safe assumption.
Thank God that guy is quiet, because he's a bloody embarrassment. And I cringe every time I see any of his videos. Thank God. That's one of the silver lining to all of us.
But, all right, so moving on, I'll actually now put the same question to the Liverpool boys. I know you guys were, like, even myself, but I'll just put it to yourself, but Liverpool was on a high, ended the Watford defeat was, yes, it was bad, but still the season was still overall. It was just one of the best seasons Liverpool's had since, unfortunately, the
last season.
Slip.
Yeah, last
year. Yeah, because Liverpool finished 1 point behind. So how has, for you guys, going back on the stats, 69 days and all of that stuff, so how much have you guys missed football? I know Liverpool Football Club, I haven't seen it with the other teams, but LFC has been really proactive by keeping the players and the fans connected by doing all those Zoom videos and those yoga sessions or birthday celebrations. They share it with the fans. But on a personal level for you two guys, how much have you missed football and how much have you missed not seeing Liverpool in action?
Well, personally, this is the biggest break that I've had in football for the last, I don't know, maybe the 18 years that I've followed in Sri Lankan television. Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite telling, because it's something to look forward to. You know, mid-season is a time off. But during the season, especially towards the end of it, wherever the position of your team in the table, you are really looking forward to your weekend. That's the one thing that's on your mind. So to not have that after such a long time, it's like missing this really dear friend, mm-hmm. who you know is going to come back, but you just know don't know when.
Yeah.
One of those things. The other thing was the uncertainty, because especially for Liverpool fans, we were so looking forward to this, the hoodoo ending. Not just one.
Oh, so the smug smile. Sorry, Randhika. The smug smile from Vidusha. Ah.
Falling. So it was our time, just before the break, it was our time to dish out the banter. Mm-hmm. Soon after, it was our time to receive it. But I guess we are opening up again. So maybe the tables will turn again. Regardless, like the Chelsea guys said, safety first. So every country who's hosting competitive sport must take into consideration the public health hazard that is going around. So we do understand the constraints. So, but we're really relieved to know that something will give eventually. So looking forward to some break. Maybe 12th of June is a reality.
It looks like Project Restart. So that's something I'll talk to you guys or further down the podcast. I'd like to hear your opinions about Project Restart, what it's called, with it's happening, supposed to be happening on the 12th of June. But Hisham, on a personal level, how has this affected you and you know, like pretty much like what the guy said, how are you coping?
Well, to be honest, I'll have to admit on a personal level, I'll have to consider myself fortunate because I'm not going through a lot of hardships, but I know a lot of people, I mean, in our country, even though we are not the most affected country, there are a lot of people because we are not in a rich country, we're a developing country. So I think this has hit us a lot in terms of our economy and our day-to-day lives. So I think many people would agree. I think we love football, but I think this has at least given us another viewpoint on life. You know, there are people out there who earn their daily living. You know, we enjoy the luxuries of watching a football match. You know, we're planning ahead and stuff like that. But then again, when this occurs, it shows, you know, it's football just takes a back seat. And we obviously on social media, we argue about, you know, the league titles and stuff like that. But in reality, there are people, I know a few football fans in general, they are suffering. I mean, they are not from well-off families and, you know, they don't know what their future would be for the next week, like how they're earning, their financial situation. They'll have to depend on others and stuff like that. There are friends of mine who are uncertain of their jobs now. Like I said, I've been fortunate that there's no significant pay cuts or anything like that for me. We have been given the luxury of work from home. But I've known people who have been served their termination letter to their doorstep and they can't do anything about it because it's the lockdown, the curfew. Yeah. They can't do anything about it. So they just have to live day by day knowing that they don't have a job. Mm-hmm. And after this lockdown eases out, they'll have to, you know, probably figure that out. So I think regarding this COVID-19 thing, on a personal level, I think I'm okay. But, you know, it really puts football into another perspective.
Yeah,
but if you let me talk about like Liverpool's thing, I think maybe not right to say this, but I think for Liverpool, I think it was a welcome break because I think they were struggling. Mm. They did so well in the season; they kept winning matches. But the last few games, I think they lost against Atletico, they lost against Watford, and even the games which they won, they struggled against West Ham, they struggled against Norwich. So I think there was a slight dip in their form. So I think hopefully now with their new fresh injury concerns and stuff like that, once everything is clear and once they are able to kick off, I think they will start fresh. But I don't think it will be the same because I think yesterday most of us watched the Bundesliga. It's just so hard to watch. Exactly. Regardless of whatever league, it's just so odd to see football played in that way.
Yeah,
it's not just football. It's not really quite football. Like Hisham said, we were experiencing a dip in form. It was coming, of course. To be fair, it should have happened long before. It didn't. We won by a margin of one goal too many times. So the break came at the right time, possibly, for the team to gather their momentum again. Mm. Because every other team would also be experiencing the same kind of conditions now.
Yeah.
Having said that, any football is good football. So
yeah. It's just a platform for everyone to unite. Just talking about like, see the impact of COVID-19 stopping the game is affecting like Hisham's, going back to Hisham's point is that it's, we only look at the top level as in, oh, COVID-19, who's affected? Club's revenue is affected. Players aren't playing. That's the bigger picture, right? Top level, that's it. No games and we are bored. But there's so much levels behind that as well. So when you look at a club, let's say just there's logistics people, there's people who are doing security, match stewards, you know, players, families, or caterers, suppliers, and everyone gets affected. And we are in Sri Lanka. Like our group is kind of based around Sri Lanka, but not having the Premier League has completely, you know, disrupted our engagement, and there's nothing to talk about. There's no transfers to talk about. There's the best thing that's happened so far is the Bundesliga coming back. But going back to Hisham's and Randhika, going back to the Bundesliga point is that is not the football I want to watch. That is just depressing, and it to me sent up. This is something I'm going to touch down the line again, but it clearly sent a message to me saying how important the 12th person is, which is the spectators and the fans watching it. Without the spectators in the stadium, it was just absolutely terrible to watch. So, but Hisham, going back to what you said, it was really nicely put with the details, and it was very good insights as to what you had to share just before.
Just to elaborate on that point, what we saw yesterday was very hard to watch, of course. We saw how difficult it was for the goal scorer to celebrate after scoring a fantastic goal.
I mean, I don't think Man City fans would complain, but in general, I think...
They can't defend themselves. Machan, so don't take shots.
next time we have a podcast, I'll definitely organize a Man City fan as well. Hopefully that goes well. It'll be a bit hard to find, unfortunately. But no, there.
Anyway, let it go, please.
Okay, that's two. 2-0.
Sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Sorry. But anyways, so I'll keep moving on. Maybe I'll give it to Ranjit.
Man United fans are missing on the group. Man United fans are missing on podcasts. I know.
next time we'll definitely get some more guys in here. It was that's fine. All right, Ranjit. Pretty much the same question for you. Personally, how has this not having football affected you? Has it affected you in any way, personally or mentally? Or do you know of anyone who's been affected by this? But in general, what's your summary about what COVID-19 is doing to the game, and in general, how it's affecting people around it, like people like us?
In terms of football, I think whatever I wanted to say, I think like everyone just like put it out there. So yeah, as Namit and Vidusha said, like it's been like a big part of my weekend. Like the way I would sort of like plan my weekend is essentially like it's primarily like I look at the fixtures and I see as to what time the Arsenal match is, and then according to that, I would like, you know, move around my other tasks. So that's how it's been for the last 10-15 years. Mm-hmm. So it's been like a very, I mean, this is how it's been, like I'd say, usually like right after football, like during the transfer season, during the, like right after the season ends, that's how it's been. But then again, like there was always like either in national matches or something football related, right? So not having any of that and not having any other sport either. I mean, obviously it's not as like, it's not like cricket may not be as good, but it was still something to like sort of fall back onto, and not having any of that, it's been really boring. But I think as Hisham said, like there's a lot more that is like outside of football that we don't really look into, or rather we are not as it's not that we don't care about it, but it's just that, you know, it sort of flies past us because, you know, we are sort of more privileged than those who are directly affected.
Yeah.
So
true.
I think having watched last night's game, I think the part that the fans play is like massive, because watching that match, it was for some reason, like obviously I think the pace of the game was pretty slow as well.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, I think not having fans, I think it's not necessarily about them cheering either. It's not about the sound that they make. It's also about the noise that they make. But it's also about just knowing that people are watching you.
Yeah.
Just knowing that, you know, their presence is there. It's a big factor.
I was watching the Borussia Dortmund and the Schalke game highlights.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to watch the full game because it's the Bundesliga. Anyways, but but I was just thinking to myself, I was like, I don't know if you guys noticed that the substitutes were 1.5 to 2 meters apart. Like that was weird.
I saw that.
Apparently there was a limit of maximum 300 people in the venue, who that includes players and everyone or something like that. There could be only 300 people in the venue, so you could hear. You could actually isolate and figure out what every player was saying. I can't say this on on the air, but apparently someone said one of the players, one of the defenders said, abused Haaland and said something about his grandmother.
One of the Barcelonis, right?
Yeah. So things like that. So without, for me personally. So what was that? Sorry, I don't think I missed that.
Basically, the insult reverberated. I mean, all around in the park.
So it was said a few times.
So for me personally, that's not the type of football that I'd enjoy. So for me, it going back on something I just said before is that the importance of spectators being at the venue is actually significantly changes the dynamic of the game. So this for me felt like a training game when I watch these highlights, and not having a go at Serie A, this is actually quite normal in the Serie A to have games behind closed doors because of racism and riots and things like that. But to see that in other leagues, like, well, when I say other leagues, the only league, the Bundesliga, it's quite interesting and makes you actually really doubt the future of football and think to yourself, is this what it's going to be like? So yeah, it's a really interesting time, and in I actually said this to one of my friends the other day. It's a really interesting time to be alive, because this is probably something that is happening once in a lifetime. I don't think something like this will happen for another 2 to 3 generations. Fingers crossed. Let's hope something like this doesn't happen again. But it has significantly changed everything that we do, and it has also significantly changed something that we love, which is the English Premier League. So thanks Aranjay, for that feedback. Finally, I'll give it to you, Rehan. What are your thoughts about COVID-19 and how it's affecting the Premier League, and has it affected you personally?
Well, I'm actually pretty fortunate because, you know, so a little fact about me, I'm probably the youngest on this podcast. I'm actually 18 years old, and
thanks, Rehan.
You know, things have been happening with COVID-19. School isn't starting anytime soon and stuff, and exams are cancelled. So it's tough. I can't wait to go back because I'm pretty bored at home. I miss school. It's my last 2 years in school. Mm-hmm. And go on. Yeah, it's fine. So when it comes to Newcastle United, it's not the easiest task being a Newcastle United fan. Like, it's like this, right? It's not that we hope for titles or anything. It's that fighting chance that we look forward to every season and every weekend, right? And those 2 hours. So when that's taken away for us, it's really tough, because, you know, there's something at the end of the week that you hope for, right? And I miss that a lot, right? And with the whole virus thing happening, you know, we have... So this takeover thing that's been happening recently, the offer was actually proposed a long time. It's actually a year ago. But right now, because of the COVID-19 crisis, Mike Ashley, or Fat Ash, like you know, call him, has dropped the price down. It might happen. Yeah. So it was actually 350, but now it's 300.
300. Yep.
So I mean, right now that's happening, but I mean, I don't know how to exactly feel about, you know, the whole takeover process, because you have both sides, right? I mean, one thing, we don't want to become like Siri, you know, we have this natural fan base. Like, even if we got relegated, we had a full stadium, right? Yeah. And I feel like that's something that's been consistent about us, right? No matter what happens, right? Yeah. It's not like, you know, even when we're 20th, 19th, 18th, we're still there, right? And I miss one day I hopefully want to go and, you know, witness it myself.
Yeah.
But I miss looking at the atmosphere and stuff. You know, so that's how it's been as a Newcastle United fan.
Yeah.
Can I pop in and ask a question from Rehan, please?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, what made you a Newcastle fan, bro? Like, did you
ask that too?
Yeah. Okay. So this is the story, right? So it's actually pretty funny one as well. I started football in school, and being from RI, football was one of the biggest things we looked forward to. Like, it was the thing, because you know, practices and getting together with friends and stuff. And I gained like a liking for football then, and I wanted to go deeper into it, right? So I started looking at things online, like you know, online soccer manager and stuff, because I wanted to feel the depth of the sport, right? And, you know, this is the story, right? I had to select a team on Online Soccer Manager. I don't know if you guys know that game. And the remaining teams that were left to be picked was Newcastle United. And I don't know, I just went with it, right? And at the end of the day, I picked it, and then I started playing with it. And then I looked into more of the club. I looked into more of the Premier League, and like what I found with Newcastle United, it's not about winning titles. It's not about all that. I mean, it's good. I mean, it's good that we can one day hope for that and, you know, all that stuff. But it's also amazing to have passion, to have that fighting chance, to believe in the fighting chance. And I feel like I can relate to that. So that's why I fell in love with Newcastle United.
I mean, at least you're honest. I think that's a very honest answer.
Like, yeah.
I was expecting an answer like, you know, I know you weren't born back then, but, you know, I was just like, back in 96.
I know where this is going.
Back in 96, I watched football, and I was like, where did you watch football in 96? He's like, no, my uncle bought the paper and came in and edited up the film.
I wish I was there during Keegan's time, man. It was great. Like, we had a fighting chance, and you know,
at least it was an honest answer to the question posted. You know, it's not the most flamboyant answer, but a very, very honest. So, you know, that's good.
I mean, I've been following them ever since, and you know, I mean, hopefully things get better with the takeover, but you know, I'm still not very, you know, I'm not happy about it. I'm not sad either.
Bro, you got a lot of things coming. The takeover happens and you post Newcastle for life on the EPL group.
Yeah, group will double, triple overnight, bro.
true.
But Rehan, sorry, jumping in. That was, I kind of agree with Ranga. That's a very, very conservative and a very, not a glamorous, but it's actually a nice way of answering, and it was good to hear your story behind how you supported.
You said Ranga, it was Vidusha.
Vidusha, apologies. I'll have to cut that out.
Ranga couldn't come.
But Ranga bailed last minute. If you're watching this, you're welcome. It's something I wanted to talk about with Rehan, probably down the line is the takeover, and but it's. Well, it's probably not the question right now, so I'll kind of cycle back to it at a later stage. But so thanks everyone for that first round of your opinions. It was really insightful, and a lot of it's nice just to see that everyone's sharing very common opinions, and I kind of can relate to things as well. But there's like, if I answer this question, honestly, I have been struggling a lot. When I say struggling a lot, as in football for me, talking about Liverpool is actually helps me socialize with other people. So I don't have to go and watch a game, but knowing a little bit of football, let's say just knowing one player's name or knowing who scored a goal or what the Premier League table looks like, helps me socialize with other people. So the place where I work, I actually have. I didn't know my boss was an Arsenal fan. I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then another one joins up, another Arsenal fan. And then I kind of like built this circle in the business where we actually go to work on a Monday, completely stop what we're doing for 30 minutes. I hope anyone from my work is not watching. But for 30 minutes, we spend like three or four or five guys in a circle. This was before social distancing, by the way. So in a circle, and we just talk football for about 30 minutes to 1 hour in the morning. We talk about who scored the goals, doesn't matter what team. I talk about Liverpool, the Arsenal guys talk about Arsenal, and then there's United guys talking about United. And it's actually, I kind of miss that. And that aspect of talking to someone and relating to someone through football. So that personally has affected me. But going back to how it, in a way, has it affected my work or anything like that, but yeah, so I haven't been financially affected by like other people with COVID-19. I've been blessed to work from home as well, but the aspect of missing football is actually, it's just weird waking up on a Saturday or a Sunday or even on a Monday and not knowing that by looking at my phone I won't be able to see a score, or I know something hasn't happened. It's kind of depressing. It's a depressing start to the weekend. So in that space I have been affected as well. But in general, I think we're now in a good track to get the EPL started on the 12th of June, which is Project Restart. And I just want to use this as a segue to talk about how this will go. So I was listening to another podcast just the other day, and this one person raised a really interesting point and said, the person says, he thinks that the Premier League actually failed to get the best result to either resume the league or void the league. I think he thinks that the ball was dropped by the Premier League, because if the Premier League at the start mapped out, this is what step one, this is step two, this is step three, this is what's going to happen, this is what's going to happen, this is what the revenue will be like, if they did that at the start, we wouldn't be in this mess right now. Whereas the Premier League opened it up to 20 different stakeholders, and the 20 different people, 20 different stakeholders now have 20 different requirements. So for example, the six at the bottom is saying, oh, if you're not playing in home venues, if you're not playing in neutral venues, we don't want relegation. People at the top are talking about revenue. So it's for me as well, I kind of totally agree with Babu said on that podcast as well. And for me, it looks like a mess, but I'll maybe start with the Liverpool boys. What are your thoughts about Project Restart, which is set to commence on the 12th of June? And do you think it will work? And do you think we will actually see an end of a season?
Personally, now that the Trailblazers have already begun, the German boys, I think we will see some action in England as well.
Yeah.
I mean, the situation is not so far apart as far as COVID-19 is concerned. Mm-hmm. So it is highly possible, but the league structure is different in England. It's a company with 20 stakeholders, equal shareholders. So you cannot have this dictum handed down like they did in League One and Eredivisie. You must have their consultation, and they must agree on a way forward. This is why they have a consultation. It's not actually the bottom six. It's the people in number 17, 16, and 15 who are saying, we don't want to play in neutral venues.
Yep.
Because the guys below them, except for Norwich maybe, are saying, let's get it started, because Bournemouth, they feel that they have a chance to get out of it.
Yep.
And rightly so. So likewise, everybody who's at the top are thinking of revenue. But Liverpool in particular are thinking of So we want a restart one way or another. Every Liverpool fan, everyone connected to Liverpool, because obviously we're not just thinking of winning the league. We're also thinking of winning the league in style. Truth be told, that's what everybody's thinking. So that's where Liverpool fans want it to be.
Yeah.
As far as the league is concerned, it's still a good thing to have some action, because you know, it might not be possible and might not be the same atmosphere without the fans. But clubs need revenue to go forward. And the reason for founding the Premier League, separate from the Football Association League, is for the revenue sharing model based on TV revenue back in 1992. So what happens after that is a few clubs who had a global fan base took off. But the revenue for the bottom clubs were also quite attractive and significant. So with the lockdown situation, I personally feel that audiences around the world will be more connected with the Premier League if they restart now.
Yep.
Therefore, the TV revenues at least should be somewhere between 10 and 20% more than what it was before that. I don't know how it works exactly, but the interest would be more. Because we had such a long break and everybody's looking forward to, you know, getting back and connecting to their teams. So as far as Liverpool are concerned, revenue is not the top priority for the fans.
Yep.
It's always the priority for the club administration.
Yep.
What we want is to see our team in action like every other fan. But Liverpool fans in particular want to see something special by the end of this season.
Yep.
So that's
nicely said. Hisham, do you have anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, but one thing is, I think, yes, Liverpool fans end of the day, the bottom line is they want to see, you know, Jordan Henderson lifting the Premier League trophy. But I think regarding your original question, which you heard on another podcast, I think, yes, I agree, because even just a short while back, I read a short article saying there is no proper leadership in the Premier League. Because for people who are following news of the Premier League, they're having weekly meetings. Now, last week, the week before, it was said, okay, we're going to meet on Monday and we're going to decide, you know, whether we're going to have relegation and stuff like that. Then last Monday they met and, you know, there wasn't concrete conclusions, like if they're going to have, because they are worried, because like you said, if, because it's not mapped out, clubs can take Premier League to court saying, you know, this wasn't informed before, and, you know, there might be other issues which the Premier League doesn't want to get involved at this time. And even now, there is no concrete plan on when the players will be actually allowed to train, when the games or how the games will be, you know, taken place. And I even said there are practical issues, like, for example, if there are games held in their own stadiums, Manchester City and Manchester United have one of the two biggest stadiums and infrastructure. So then they'll have to use the medical facilities of that hospital or whatever health agency in that locality. So then the concern there is they'll be using that facility, which might be important to the hospital or to another area at that time. So that problem won't occur if they have it in a neutral stadium. But the clubs don't want to, you know, give that advantage or give away that advantage by playing in a neutral stadium. They are citing like financial reasons, like the sponsor, you know, they have some stadiums, they have their own sponsor, like the King Power Stadium, the Etihad. They play, they get a separate payment for that. So it's a complicated situation, but I think I agree that is because there is no proper plan. I think the Bundesliga has taken off and they've had this planned out like a month back. And even we are heading into the third week of May. And I think the project restart is supposed to kick off on June 12th. Yep. June 1st is the ban, deadline. I think, where the sports deadline can take place. So I think up to now, I think there's a meeting tomorrow, but up to now, there is no proper plan on, you know, how the clubs will, you know, proceed with it. And that is why I think the players, you can say some players don't like it, some players want to get on with it, some players they want to, but only when it's safe. So there are a lot of problems which the Premier League has to look into before kickstarting this thing off.
Yep, that's a fantastic analysis from your end. I kind of completely agree on a couple of things that you said just there. I might throw the same question for the Chelsea boys as well. So what are your thoughts about Project Restart? Do you think it'll happen? Is it the right thing to do?
Vidush, you want to go first?
Yeah, I can go. So basically, first of all, something that I believe is, I do understand that the Premier League has not made decisions that should have been made, understood. But also something that we must understand, it is that it's very easy for us to sit on this side of the fence and attack the Premier League, right? I mean, we can say that they haven't made this, they haven't made that decision, they haven't done this. At the end of the day, if we just listen to all our conversations and even what Vajir said earlier, right? In some way, even how unbiased we want to be, there is some sort of bias in any of our answers, right? Like that's the exact same, like that's the exact same thing with the other clubs that are at 15, 16, 17 saying, okay, we don't want to play in neutral venues. There is some sort of bias there. There are some clubs say, okay, we like we don't care, you know, like we really want to play. There is some bias in that, you know. So any answer given, there is some bias towards either survival, either remaining in that position in the league, you know, or they just want to, like, you know, like, okay, for example, like, you know, United fans, you know, they would never want Liverpool to win. I was having a chat with a Malaysian United fan just about a couple of hours ago, right? You know, he just kept saying, you know, with how much he cares for the feelings and the thoughts of the bottom three, and, you know, how they should be given a chance to, you know, the same kind of chance not to play a playoff or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. But we know their sole motive is for Liverpool not to win the league.
Can't stand it.
You know, so So basically, we can stand on also, this side of the, this thing because at the end of the day, COVID-19 is a very, very unprecedented situation, right? So for us to stay on this side and like keep it, I mean, we have the right to do it because, you know, we are fans, we are stakeholders in some way of the Premier League, right? So we do have the right. But then for me, looking at it in like a perspective of the Premier League, I feel like it is very easy for us to, you know, keep bashing them because they basically have to manage 20 teams, 20 huge owners, their egos, profits and losses, basically financial situations and everything, right? So since, I mean, if the decisions were not taken in a situation where, you know, in a normal crisis situation, because this is not even a normal crisis situation, right? This is a situation where it's like we correctly agreed, it's far beyond anyone's imagination, right? So for a huge institution like the Premier League, sometimes to take these decisions are very, 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 very harder than we think, because we think some decisions should be taken that favors us, right? Like for an example, right? Liverpool, the Liverpool guys, when they just spoke, right? They all spoke very biased and they finished off their conversation by saying, we want Henderson to lift the trophy, right? So,
his knee, running from his knees and all.
Yeah. So basically that shows whatever that we do or whatever, however unbiased we want to be, there is a bias in. Right. So in that situation, we can imagine how hard it is for the decision makers to make those decisions. So in that sense, like if you ask me, I feel like Liverpool should be given whatever chance possible, and those decisions should be made. I mean, a lot of people say if these guys were there, if Chelsea was there or City was there, these decisions would have been made differently or spoke. No, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, right? You know, so what I feel is whatever chance should be given to Liverpool and the other teams to compete, may it be in closed stadiums, may it be, and decisions should be taken, like I feel like the strong decision that should be taken is when people say, okay, listen, we can't play in neutral venues, you know, decisions should be taken. If you don't play, your points should be shaved off or whatever it is. Right? You know, those decisions have to be made. Right? But again, staying on this side of this thing and we are competing in Premier League, I'm sure it's so much tougher than we think it is. So that's just my two cents on it. Namit, you can add to it. I can.
Nicely said. Very interesting.
I think because it says a lot that Germany is the first league to restart from all this, because Germany as a country handled this much better than everyone else. And we had to bear in mind England when England, actually the United Kingdom as a whole, were well behind this from the start. So it's a very tough decision, and there are a lot of overriding other dimensions that come into play.
Yes.
So you had to take, I really feel, I honestly, if I were in the position of a Liverpool fan now, right, if there's Chelsea on top of the league with such a massive lead, I wouldn't just be saying this. I just said, start the season or give us the trophy.
Yeah, sure.
Because I really feel for you guys, and by far the best team this season. And for the reason this decision is being spoken about so much is because of Liverpool's position. There might be some bias there. Fine. But Liverpool's results, Liverpool deserve that bias, in my opinion. Mm. I honestly think the German League and the Serie A, how it progresses, will play a big role. And honestly, right now, it's not looking good because I just read an article. I've been reading a few articles, actually. The restart project is suffering from a massive lack of leadership.
Yep.
And I think the FA were expecting all the clubs to vote in a certain way. And I think they expected clubs to especially bear in mind the loss of team revenue. and they thought that maybe losing that money might be a reason for them to vote in a certain way. But actually, I guess probably what they didn't realize was some like, you know, getting relegated might be a bigger financial loss for them.
Yep.
So I think it's up in the air at the moment. Honestly, right now, I don't see the league starting again. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out.
Can I ask you a question? Sure. If they don't start the league, mm-hmm. do you think Liverpool should be awarded the title?
Sorry to say this, guys. No, because I think this will set a precedent going forward, because there's no objective reason to award Liverpool the season, right?
Okay.
Mathematically, Liverpool have not won the... I mean, all props to them. They've had a massive season. They've been amazing. Probably one of the best seasons in the last 30, 40 years. But I think if you are cancelling the season, you have to bear in mind there are three clubs that will get relegated if that's the case. There are 10 more games to be played. And that's no joke. That's let's say you boil that down to 5 game weeks. I mean, 5 weeks, and you have 10 games in those 5 weeks. It's a pretty tough thing to accomplish, given all the constraints, given all the, you know, the fact that people haven't trained in a while, teams haven't trained together in a while. Mm. So I think if the league gets cancelled, we'll have to go in the way of the Dutch league, because the French league, the way that decision was made was very severely criticized, because there was no reasoning behind awarding PSG the title. Like, it's just, okay, fine. PSG have this many points between them and second place. Okay, we'll give them the title. So it felt like a very objective, biased decision. And I can't see the Premier League following suit. I think if the league does get cancelled, I feel it'll be null and void, and no one will be awarded anything.
Sorry, Hisham, I'll come back to you. I'd actually put that question back to Vidusha, the question you asked from Namib. What do you think? If the season's void, it's hard to say. It's like, what should we do? If Project Restart doesn't go well, should Liverpool quickly, yes, no, and a quick summary, should Liverpool be given the title or not?
Right. So it's a tough question, because I've been thinking about this a lot as well. I'm afraid I probably won't be giving the same answer if Chelsea was in that same position. But looking at what Namit said, I think I kind of have to agree with Namit to say, like, again, you guys have had a fantastic season, right? And it's unfortunate that it has, if it does, but I think it should, that, you know, if the season, you know, is null and void, it shouldn't be about to Liverpool, in my opinion. So I think, again, that's unfortunate for you guys. The fans, the club, the players, the captains, the manager, who's done a fantastic job in everything. But then, you know, at the end of the day, this particular situation, this COVID-19 situation, has created so many unfortunate situations, not just in football, in life in general. Yep. So I just think that, you know, we should, you know, it is unfortunate, but COVID-19 has created more unfortunate situations than this.
Yep.
So I feel like, you know, they shouldn't be awarded. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Hisham, you wanted to say something before. What was that?
So since I just wanted to put this across, because now since this null and void story came across, it's not official, but the Premier League in another way has said the season won't be considered null and void. It'll be decided on three factors. So they are going to decide on which three factors. Either they bring down the match day. I think we have played around 29 matches. So they bring the results to match week 27. That is one option. Or there's another way of where they average the points and, you know, see how the teams have allocated their points. Now, this is where the relegation phase, the teams come with a problem. And for that, I think there's another factor. I'm not so aware of it. It's like how good are you on your away form and how good are you on your home form and something like that. So this is not yet discussed. These are the three options which are they're going to discuss. So one way or the other, they have confirmed. Now, assuming that the Premier League does kick off by June 12th and again stops because nothing is certain yet. So still, it's not going to be considered null and void. It's going to be, no, I'm not just saying this because I'm a Liverpool fan. It's just that in most cases, the season won't be considered as null and void. It will be finished off in one way or the other because today UEFA came and said that they are even planning to complete the Europa League as well as the Champions League. So, and that will be happening if it goes on August, I think. So that's a huge time. I mean, will players be okay to wait until August? Because we have to finish this season and then there should be an off season and then we got to start another season. And this thing is not going to be getting settled anytime soon. There's like, there's so much of things to be planned.
Yeah, but I think
the Premier League has come across and said that, no, this season won't be considered as null and void. And even Premier League chiefs have confirmed that they never considered this season to be considered as null and void. They were only exploring options.
So, Hisham, going back to those three points that you said, the averaging and the week 27. So, if you take all three options, would Liverpool still win the league?
For sure.
Yeah, by far because of the points gap. But the problem is, I think the problem here is not the Liverpool winning the league. I think even now the problem is, one is the Champions League places, because I think Chelsea and Man City are almost through. They're secured in their position. But it's just that there are so many games to be played. But Manchester United is in fifth. Sheffield United is behind them and they've got a game in hand. So there is a problem there because Wolves and teams like Sheffield, they want to fight for that Champions League place. No doubt about it. And then there are teams who are stranded in the relegation area. And then there are teams just above them who also can fall into that category. So this is where I think the major problem is, the relegation as well as the Champions League places, because that also involves a lot of money, a lot of stake there. It's not, I think Liverpool winning the league is, I think, almost somewhat confirmed now. Even for me, my personal opinion is, even if this league goes ahead or not, even if it gets restarted, I think based on the answer given by the Premier League, their latest announcement last week, Liverpool are sure to be champions. It's just a matter of when or how. I think the major important factor will be about the Champions League places and the relegated the relegation.
Cool.
There is actually some external in that as well. I mean, Manchester City's European ban comes into play unless appeal is through. So either way, all three of those ways, actually, not either, would make Manchester United also qualifying for Champions League if the ban is upheld. But if the weighted average scenario of points is taken into consideration, then Tottenham Hotspur will not even be in the reckoning for Europa League. So, so there are two scenarios there. But that will be the only change across the three platforms. But relegation is the same story. In one of those, Bournemouth will not be relegated, but in the other two, they would be. So those are the scenarios they are considering.
Cool. I might actually now quickly skip to Eranje and Rehan pretty much with the same question. So might kind of keep it short. But Hisham and Randhika, I'm going to come back to you on a really interesting question just for the for you two guys and regarding to this 30-year wait and the title. So, but quickly, Eranje, so what are your thoughts about Project Restart and do you think it will go well?
I'm not sure whether it will go well, but like my concern has been more towards how it's going to pan out for the next few years, like, because as far as I know, as far as I've like whatever I've read on, and I feel like this COVID-19 is here to stay, at least for a while, at least for the next couple of years. So given that, how is football going to cope up with it? Like, how are we going to engage with the fans? How are the clubs going to engage with the fans? And like, what's football going to be like? Whether this season is going to end, like whether it's going to be null and void or whether Liverpool are going to win the league, that's like from where we are, like we're at ninth, so like it doesn't, it's kind of immaterial to us. Like I do believe that we do have like a chance to get into the top four, but that's like looking at it realistically, that's that seems rather like far-fetched. So I'm not entirely concerned about whether Liverpool whether they're going to win the league or whether we are going to make the top four. For me, it's more about how football is going to do with COVID-19, because I don't think we'll see fans for the next 2-3 years.
Agreed.
Unless, even if we do find a vaccine, for me, that's very, very concerning, and it's very, it's depressing to think about it. Like, to actually watch a match like what it was yesterday, Schalke versus Dortmund, that would be depressing to watch. So that's my main concern, to be honest.
And Rehan, what are your thoughts about Project Restart?
So it all boils down to the two main stakeholders. I mean, not main exactly, but you know, the players and management, right? So there's been reluctance from the players to actually go back on the field. And manager Steve Bruce has actually said, you know, he's not going to force anyone. It's up to their choice, you know. Mm-hmm. And a few other clubs have joined in on this opinion as well. But, you know, we have Mike Ashley, who is insisting. And recently he has been he has apologized for keeping his sports direct stores open. I mean, it was going against the law in place as well. So it's a clash of opinion. You have the players in the locker room who's basically like, you know, they're reluctant to go in, and they have manager support in that as well. And then you have upper management who's like, you know what, they're anyway profit motivated, right? So
are you just talking about Newcastle only, or are you just talking about like clubs in general?
Newcastle. I'm just like giving up. Yeah. So that's the situation back there. So depending, again, it boils down to the ownership, because that could change, right? I don't know how the new owners would take it. But in terms of a neutral venue, that is very, I mean, it's subjective, right? It all depends on the long run of how the situation goes. Because like Erang, I think, said, it's very difficult to watch it, even when a vaccine is invented. Because, you know, it's very, I don't know, like yesterday's match, it was depressing to see. I mean, I didn't feel it again. You know, it's very, I don't know how to express it. It's just so much disappointment not having that feeling again. And I feel like that's something we as fans will have to undergo for a little bit of time.
Yep.
And furthermore, it's the whole, after the situation is done, the transfer market, you know, long-term impacts are definitely there, and we need to be prepared for it as fans. Yep.
Nicely put. Coming back to Randhik and Hisham, let's say everything goes well for Liverpool, and Liverpool, either by playing games or by the league awarding it to Liverpool, does win the Premier League after 30 long years. Is this the way you want to lift the trophy?
Absolutely not. This is not how we plan. You know, breaking a hurdle. Either way, we have to accept that this is a reality. We cannot change anything now. Of course, we have envisaged a lot more brighter prospects. Because by about January, it was pretty clear that we are going to win the league. We were establishing a lead of around 18 points, and likewise. And what panned out thereafter was totally unexpected and unprecedented, like Vibisha said. So we have to accept that as a reality. Either way, I mean, we deserve to win this title. That is my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Yeah.
And we have to win it. Under the circumstances, it would be a low-key affair. It would not be the Champions League six-time winning parade or anything of that ilk.
Yeah.
However, we would celebrate in no small measure. That's my opinion.
Yeah. And Hisham, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. It's certainly not the way. It's certainly not the way we want it to happen. But I think, regardless of it, I think it's thoroughly deserved. I think because easily the boys could have been mentally down. You know, I mean, last season, 97 points, losing just once and not winning it. Had they lost the Champions League final, I think that would have been done. I mean, players would have wanted to leave the club. You know, that would be it. But credit to them, the mentality this season has been absolutely, you know, fascinating. The way they just keep on going and going and going, the team spirit. And, you know, even though the setbacks. I mean, you have that feeling. I mean, those days, you know, when you score two goals, you until the 90th minute, I mean, as a Liverpool fan, you know that it's not done. You know something's going to happen and you might lose 3-2. I mean, now you score one goal, you know, okay, done. We score one goal, we're in pole position to win this. I mean, that's the confidence I think Jurgen Klopp has, you know, instilled into this squad. And I think the way they are planning ahead for the future, regardless of this COVID-19 thing, I mean, as a fans, you can see all the tabloids and all the gossip. I mean, the signings they're planning out, it's not about the big names. It's about the players who can fit into the system. Yeah. I mean, he's learned as well as a coach. I mean, he came into England with only this heavy metal football thing and he learned that it's not going to work in England. Yep. It worked. And then he realized that in England, it's physical. The weather changes and, you know, he started losing players for injuries. Mm-hmm. He learned from that. He brought in players who can adapt to it. He changed the system. And now we are, you know, 25 points gap. It's really huge. Yeah. And it says how the teams have evolved and how the teams have really, you know, earned themselves to be in this position. So I think they deserve it, but it's not the way they want to win it. Certainly, I mean, even the players, they wouldn't want to win it like that. But I mean, just imagine winning the Premier League trophy in an empty stadium. I mean, that's awful. But still, yeah. To take the hoodoo off your back, I think that's the most important thing because they can grow from this, hopefully, without, you know, taking a step backwards. Because Liverpool, traditionally, one step forward, two steps back, that has been the story. So hopefully they can grow from this, take the Premier League and, you know, move forward. But it's not going to be easy. You can see Chelsea also have been doing a lot of business, pre-planned business. Man City will be strong. Manchester United will do business. And hopefully for Rehan's sake, if Newcastle takes over, I don't think there'll be, you know, title contenders right away. But, you know, like Man City, they will keep the stepping stones. Because, I mean, imagine, I saw a post, the Man City owner's worth was, you know, 23 million or something. And the Saudi one is like 236. Yeah. I mean, just imagine the gap on that, what they can do with that money and the players they can bring in. Yep. So anyway, that is for a different story. But regardless of the title win, I think it's deserved. And hopefully, you know, they'll get it done one way or the other.
The Newcastle takeover deal is something that I want to talk about, I think. But we've gone over 1 hour. But maybe I'll just kind of power through the next few questions. But so really good insights, guys, about Project Restart. But the next question is, it's actually your personal opinion about how differently you would do things. Assume Ranga, Vidusha, Vidusha, the Chelsea boys assume that you guys are playing for Chelsea. The Liverpool guys think that you are Liverpool players. Arsenal players, Newcastle. So anyone watching, listening to this podcast or watching this video, think that you're a player. Under these circumstances, would you actually play if you were asked to play? I'll actually start with the Chelsea boys.
Nami, you want to start first? Oh, right. So Nami just was saying he's been muted.
Yeah. There you go.
Amit?
There we go.
Hi, Amit. It's a very tough one, Vajra, because we have to, at the end of the day, this is their livelihoods, right? And I think most of us have had the luxury of working from home. Yep. And I'm back at office tomorrow after, I think about 6 days. There are a lot of people who are not happy about it because they, especially guys with families who have kids, who have wives. Personally, if I'm assured that the Premier League is taking every precaution necessary, it seems a bit impractical in a way because I saw some articles about people saying that when you're marking someone, you should not hold them, impractical things like that. It is a contact sport at the end of the day.
Oh my God.
We know how the virus spreads. So it's a tough one. Personally, I would say if it's absolutely necessary, yes, I would go. I would play. I would go ahead, but only if it was absolutely necessary.
But if you have loved ones at home who are susceptible to this virus, would you still play?
Yeah, definitely hard pass in that case. I'm living alone, which is the case for me right now. I guess my parents would be too happy about it, but as long as I'm the only one who can, who might be, you know, vulnerable to it, I don't mind. But yeah, if I am married, if I have kids, it, and especially even worse, if you have, you're probably a grandparents living with you.
Yep.
So yeah, that's that would be a different case.
Yeah. Vidusha, your opinion?
So I think it's quite simple. I think the Premier League or whatever leagues, maybe the French League or Premier League, you know, they are not just small organizations. They are organizations that are able to assure people of their safety. If they do assure of someone's safety, there is some weight to it. So if I was a player, if the Premier League has assured our safety as players 100% and all the measures has been taken for us to safely play the game, and then I would definitely play. And again, it again comes down to the point where I might be wrong. I don't think players singularly come out on press conferences and say, listen, I don't want to play, or some guy say, I want to play. I think it's a common message that is given out to them for them to say if they are asked these questions from the clubs. And again, I feel like if you ask players like Liverpool players or whatever it is, if you would love to play, they would love to play given the circumstances are set, safety precautions are met. And if you ask someone that would not rather play and, you know, have the league null and voided, like the Arsenal fans, you know, their players probably would have been instructed to say, hey, listen, we don't feel safe playing, you know, like, yeah, we don't believe you. You can say it's all healthy and stuff, but, you know, listen, I have grandparents living at home, so I don't want to play, right? So, you know, those can be the answers. But in my case, since this question was put to me, if an esteemed organization like the Premier League can guarantee safety, there is some weight to them saying that because they are putting their reputation on the line if it's not the case. So I don't expect them to just say things, just blurt things out. So if they do say that, I might most probably play. Yeah.
Okay. Liverpool boys, your opinions, would you play in these circumstances? But hypothetically, you have a loved one. You have loved ones who are highly susceptible to this virus. Would you play?
Isha?
Well, I think it comes down to the fact, like, if I was a player, that would be my professional career. So I'll have to consider that. But then again, like Vidusha said, I'm pretty sure the Premier League just won't come out and say, you know, it's safe to play. You know, they won't make any guesses at a time like this. It'll be very assuring. There'll be protocols in place. I mean, we've read about so many protocols they are planned to keep in place. So if it is confident enough, if the player or the club has been informed that these are the guidelines, and still I think most of the clubs say that it's up to the player whether they're going to play or not. Because I've also read the club will be liable for anything that happens to the player. So I think it'll be very discussed. It'll be very organized. It's not something which will be done on an ad hoc manner. So in that case, yes, there will be a loved one, yes. But if I was given the assurance, confidence built that, you know, everything is good to go, yes, I would, because that would be my career.
Yep. Randhika, to you?
Well, I share the same opinion. In fact, I have been working through the pandemic as well. So I always put my career first wherever I can make sure that I am safe. And of course, I've been exposed to some dangers in my line of work. So I know a little bit about taking precautions. So I would not hesitate to go and play.
Okay, that's really nice to hear. Aranjay, what's your opinion about this? Would you play if you were asked to play, but you still have loved ones and you have, do you have concerns if you have a family that's susceptible to this?
I'd have a concern, yes, but I think for me, it'd depend on what the club wants me to do, because I have signed a contract and I'm their employee. And if they go ahead and say, look, we want you to play, and our collective decision is to play, do you want to be a part of it? I'd definitely say yes, but given the health concerns, I probably think, you know, maybe I don't want to live with my parents, or I want to live away from my loved ones. That'll probably be how I'd go about it. But in terms of like whether I would do it, I think I probably would.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Rehan, your thoughts on this question?
Well, it's basically along the lines of what everyone said, right? It depends on the assurance that's being given. And, you know, there's a responsibility on part of the player as well when it comes to the post-match events. So if those steps are, you know, decided and discussed and, you know, people keep along those lines, then, yeah, we can do this.
Yep. Does anyone have any comments about how some players, this was actually touched by a couple of you guys when you were talking initially about different topics, actually, but some players have come out and said, this might not be a good thing because, you know, coming back and playing in general, it's not just because of they have loved ones, but they're just concerned. Like Kevin De Bruyne had come out and said there might be injuries. Who else? Willian's kind of, Raheem Sterling's come out and they've got concerns, not entirely about loved ones, but they've got concerns about, you know, being injured. Does any
there's a question there's a question there. Would Kevin De Bruyne say that if he was in Liverpool and see, that's a pretty question to ask, because you know that's that come back, it comes back to the point I said, right? Like, you know, you do start making excuses, or you do start saying things, maybe Chelsea, maybe City, doesn't matter, like we're talking place in general, you do start talking However unbiased you want to be, at the end of the conversation, there's a bias that you end up with.
Yeah.
So I don't believe Kevin De Bruyne would ever say that if he was 25 points, if City was 25 points ahead, then, you know, he'd be like, no, listen, we can play. Premier League is a very distinct organization. They have been distinct our safety. So we would really like to play. So, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
That's what I feel about it.
Another way to look at it is that now most of the players would be looking at this as a professional. They would not be looking at this as a fan, unless you are in the position that Liverpool are in, like Uthus said. So considering the fact that the pandemic is not just going to disappear after this season is over, and that it's going to linger around for another 2 years, so what are you going to do? Just end your career here?
Yeah.
Mm. Will you play the next season?
Yeah.
Or the season after?
Oh, they would. They would, because it's 0-0 again.
Mm-hmm. it's not just these six weeks, because if they had to restart in early September, there would still be corona cases all around the globe, and the danger would not have passed. There will not be many spectators in the stands anyway. It would be the same scenario.
Yeah,
it would be the same template to follow for the next entire season. So what would you do? Not take your salaries for the next year?
Yeah. In a parallel universe where there is not such a big gap in the Premier League, opinions would be really different. I kind of agree with what Vidusha said before about Kevin De Bruyne's comment if he was 24 points ahead or if he was playing for Liverpool. But in a parallel universe, if the gap was not that big, we would be having a completely different conversation about voiding the league, or should Liverpool be given the title, things like that. It would be more like the French league kind of thing, like that's it, or someone will make a call. So it'll be really interesting.
For instance, last season at this time, at 29th game week end, it was just 1 point between Man City and Liverpool. So in that context, KDB would probably be itching to go.
Yeah, just one game.
For sure.
How about the other guys?
All these comments saying they can't play, nothing has come from any Liverpool players.
Yeah. Those guys are quite active, because I don't know if you have seen those videos where they do group Zoom meeting yoga sessions and things like that. So those guys have been really active in social media, and Oxlade has been dancing with his wife and, you know, doing all that fancy stuff. They've been active.
It's painful to watch that, because you any moment you expect Ox to sprain his ankle again.
Yeah. You just never know. You just don't want him sneezing, you, because he'll be out for another. He's like fractured rib, and then he'll be out. So, but any other guys? This is more like an open ended question. But did you guys have opinions about how players are, you know, raising concerns about not wanting to play? or Hisham or Eranje or Rehan, do you guys have any opinions about this, or do you want me to move across to another question?
Well, if I were to answer, I'd say, you know, I think it's a matter of opinion. Sometimes you've got to respect the opinion as well. But then again, I don't want to go going back and forth on the same topic. But I think, again, that comes down to how well these players or the club has been advised by the Premier League. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw Willian's statement. Willian's statement was based on what Frank Lampard had advised the team on their latest meeting or Zoom meeting or whatever. So how was Lampard or the club advised? You know, so that is up to the Premier League to give them the guidelines or the map, the plan out. You know, this is how it's going to be. This is on this circumstance we are going to work, you know, this plan out. So I think that is how these opinions, you know, are being expressed.
Yeah. 100%. No one's going to just come and say, listen, this is what I feel that I have to do. Right?
Yeah. Eranje or Rehan, you guys have any opinions about this?
Well, I agree with Hisham, right? And it's something that I've said before on this live as well. It's already been decided that, you know, players have raised concerns and our managers being like, you know, it's up to the players at the end of the day, because, you know, you can't force them to do something that they don't want to do, right? And that's something we'll have to deal with and look forward to, you know, being solved someday by the Premier League.
Yeah. Interesting. Eranje, how about you? Any opinions about this?
Pretty much the same thing that everyone said. But I also feel like now, if I were living in England and say, for instance, I was living in, say, North London, I would genuinely, if football wasn't really a big part of my life, I genuinely raise the questions on, like, if everyone else is asked to, like, have all this social distancing, all those requirements and all those guidelines, I'd wonder as to why it does not apply to football.
So I know. Okay.
Looking at it from a different perspective, because now I was talking to my cousins and they're like, when I asked about football, they're like, you know, what the hell, man? Like, why should it start? Because, like, I mean, I understand their perspective as well, because even though, like, perhaps it might not, like, maybe football starting again may not have as big an impact, like, on the whole COVID thing. But I believe, like, some people will feel hard done by, like, they'd be like, why football?
Yeah.
So that's, like, a different perspective on it. But all in all, I think if we are to start, that's a good thing, because this is here to stay for a while. But I also think, like, perhaps giving it time would also sort of help the, like, especially given the situation in the UK, even how bad it is. So, yeah.
Cool.
I think it was a pretty interesting point he brought up there. I think, like, it's like we discussed about this COVID-19 situation and about Style League, and we've just looked at it in like a football lover's perspective. Mm-hmm. And there are so many others who are not football lovers. And, you know, I think it's a very, very interesting part to look at it from. Like,
another point of view. Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Changing gears, but still remaining topical. My question to you guys is now, whatever happens, like whatever's happened now has happened. We don't know what the future will look like. There's really interesting things said by you guys about how the future of the Premier League might be different, and it's what it is. But the question right now is, will clubs go bust? Because there's a lot of things that kind of had a knock-on effect. There was revenues that were affected, salaries that were affected, sponsorships that were affected, player salaries. There's a whole bunch of things that was affected. Just the other day, pretty much late last week, I saw an article from the BBC that said Premier League clubs may have to pay back £230 million back to the broadcasters because of the TV rights deals. But there could be teams at the bottom of the table who's right now contesting the relegation that says we don't want this to happen because they might go bust. This was kind of raised by one of you guys before about club finances, but what will happen? Will clubs go bust because of COVID-19? I'll actually start with the Liverpool boys with this question. What are your thoughts about this, financial-wise?
Hisham, you want to take this?
All right. So my opinion is that I think the Premier League clubs, I don't think will go bust, because I think the Premier League, if they can survive, if you talk about the relegation clubs, if they can survive, the Premier League clubs have a huge attraction towards them. So I think if the clubs go bust, I think there will be someone else who will come up, you know, come across to bail them out. What more important is, I think, is the English Football League, the lower division clubs. I think they are the ones who will be, you know, facing huge problems in terms of salaries, because they earn a lot, not through sponsorships or gate. I mean, the main income is gate collections and stuff like that, not the TV revenue. So I think it's the lower league teams which will struggle a lot, not the Premier League clubs. The Premier League clubs will have an impact, but I think they have almost all the clubs have, you know, millionaire owners who would, you know, somehow or the other bail them out, or at least, you know, come up with a plan where, you know, the club can, you know, overcome that obstacle.
Yep. Andika, did you have anything to add to this?
Another angle to that is that even though the Premier League clubs have many other avenues of income, they are also the ones who are heavily in debt, especially the newly promoted ones and the ones who are threatened with relegation. They actually borrow a lot in order to be competitive in the upper divisions. Therefore, their solvability is far lower than, say, for instance, the top six clubs. If they are required to pay back any contract money or to the TV rights holders because they cannot air the games that are remaining, they will go bust. That's not about it.
Chelsea boys, Vidusha, I'll maybe let you start this time.
Just adding to that. I think what Randhika said is correct. But just what on Hisham said, even though so Hisham said they might not go bust, but Randhika said they definitely will. But the point is, even if they do, I think there is a lot of interest. Probably sometimes it's not shown in media, not shown on social media, but there is a vibrant interest in purchasing Premier League clubs. So what I feel like is, even if they do go bust or is on the verge of doing it, point one is either the Premier League clubs and their owners will put in that extra buck to save it, or else there will be other people coming in to actually save it, and also see this as an opportunity to buy a Premier League club for cheaper than it usually is, right? So I feel like, even though on the books it might go bust, I just feel like they will still survive just based on the interest. Just find a way. Yeah.
Namit, how about you? Any thoughts on
actually,
this one?
Actually, probably the only club you can think of being in trouble would be Newcastle. But
they're okay for now.
Yeah, so yeah, I think the Premier League clubs are too big to fail. Any bank would be happy to give them a loan. Any investor salt will be looking at this as an opportunity. So yeah. I doubt that 20 clubs in the Premier League right now are at any risk, actually.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah, yes. You're correct there. Yeah.
Aranjay, any thoughts on about, from you about this question here? Do you think any clubs would go bust?
Probably not in the Premier League. I don't think so, unless there are clubs who are like in financial turmoil. Probably not. I can't really do like much of a financial analysis, but as far as I know, probably not.
Okay.
No, I just need to clarify what I said earlier. I didn't say that they will go bust if this situation persists. They will go bust if they are required to pay back the contract money or that they will be owing to the TV rights holders.
Yep.
That's a lot of money. 200 million, Norwich, Brighton and Hove Albion, these guys will not afford it. Mm.
Just a completely
different... I think 200 million is from all the Premier League,
right? Yeah.
230 million together. So it doesn't say who and what are the clubs, but it says £230 million to be paid back. So £230 million, that's actually what? Twice as that in dollars. So US dollars, which is actually quite a big number. But still talking about clubs going bust. So, but it is very likely that the sponsorship, the money that's coming from sponsorship, forget the TV channels or anything like that, the small companies that sponsor Premier League teams. So it could be, who's Liverpool's sponsor? Western Union and, kind of forgot for a second. So let's say Western Union.
Just lift your shirt a little bit.
I think lift your shirt, yeah, I just couldn't.
Yeah, remember. It was Standard Chartered.
Standard Chartered. So Western Union or Standard Chartered or like Yokohama Tires or anyone. Like these big companies can go bust. As a result, the money that's fed through as part of sponsorships might dry out. So as a result, next season or the seasons later after that, we might actually see funds drying up. Yes, I agree. Clubs might find out ways to millionaires or billionaires will definitely bail them out. But these companies that's funding them as part of sponsorships might actually not survive COVID-19. And as a result, clubs might not get the revenue. And as a result, what happens when clubs don't get revenue? They kind of push it down to the bottom line, the fans, the spectators who come and watch the game. A ticket's already, what, £30 or something like that in the UK? This is probably to rise. Revenue, the amount of money they charge to a broadcasting right, as to sell a broadcasting right, will increase. What's that going to do? That's going to increase the amount we pay to the network provider, to the TV company, and that's going to affect us. So clubs might not go bust, but the knock-on effect, unfortunately, might come up and end up with us. We might be paying more to watch a Premier League game, even at the stadium or at home. Unfortunately, that might, in my opinion, that might be the case. So clubs might, this is completely different, but clubs might not go bust, but the price of them not going bust might end up actually in our hands. It'll trickle down to us, in my opinion. But Rehan, I'll come to you last in this question. You guys are going through a really interesting time right now. You were talking about how 350 is now 300 million. That could be a COVID-19 effect. But let's keep the takeover deal aside. Let's assume that the Saudi money hasn't come in yet. Do you think Newcastle or any of the rest of the Premier League teams would go bust because of COVID-19?
So two issues, mainly the long term. So clubs will have to choose either, you know, being sustainable or you know, no investment. Because, you know, there's two decisions you need to make. It's to survive and it's to invest in more players obviously, when you spend a lot of your money trying to survive, you're not going to have a lot to, you know, invest. I know this may not, you know, be in terms of, you know, the takeover. I'm sorry, I'm digging this up again. It may not work, but I feel like the Premier League and the UEFA need to look a little bit more at making things fairer now in terms of financial fair play. The rules with regards to that, because obviously some clubs are going to be lucky, hopefully Newcastle. Some clubs are not going to be so lucky when it comes to investment. So I believe there might be an inequality that rises up from there. So those sort of problems need to be tackled when it comes to dealing with the whole financial issue.
Very interesting. So I think we've gone over 1.5 hours, and I kind of wanted to keep this for about less than 15 minutes. But it has been really interesting talking to you guys. But I probably want to come to the last question. Well, two questions actually, and I'll use the pretty much one as a segue to pretty much wrap this off. But I'll actually keep it with Rehan right now. The Newcastle takeover deal.
Yeah.
What's your opinion about this? And you might be closer to this because, you know, like for Liverpool fans, what's the most interesting thing? Or will the league be cancelled and will we lose the league? And everyone has different concerns right now. I think you would be the only one very in this panel right now who's very close to this news. What's your opinion about the Saudi takeover deal? And when is this going to happen?
So let me start with the whole issue with Mike Ashley, because I think that's a very good place to start. So since Mike Ashley took over, we've been relegated two times. And there's been several issues. There's been the lack of investment, lack of locker room support, lack of management issues. You know, I mean, we had several great opportunities. We had Rafael Benitez. We had Kevin Keegan come with us once. He came back once with us again in 2009 again. And, you know, we had so many great players. But the problem is with management. The problem is with Mike Ashley. Because at the end of the day, this guy does not care about the club, right? To own a club like Newcastle United, a club that will back the players up no matter what, you need to have passionate leadership. Passionate leadership that comes with, you know, owning the club, right? And Mike Ashley has been disappointing. And there's several movements, there's several protests, several boycotts that come with this. And, you know, it's actually affecting, you know, our passion as fans as well, right? Because, you know, when these boycott movements come up and everything, and, you know, there was a point where Mike Ashley even, you know, renamed St. James's Park to the Sports Direct Stadium, which was, I mean, that's been the name of the stadium since 1896. Why would you do that? That's you know, it ruins our culture as Newcastle United fans, right? We've had so much history, right? We look at you know, Bobby, the period of Sir Bobby Robson. We look at Kevin Keegan. We look at the 1950s. I know that's a long time, but still, you know, we had so much history, right? And I think that's one of the best things about our club. Mm-hmm. And Mike Ashley, since he's taken over, has been someone who's almost close to ruining that. And for years, we've been having, I mean, this whole takeover thing, right? There's been several rumors going on, right? There's been Amanda Staveley, and she's back again with this. She's the one who brought in the public investment fund. And there's been a lot of other people, right? We've been connected with several other takeover claims, but none of them have come true. And that's something why Newcastle fans remain skeptical, right? And the worst part about it is that, you know, Mike Ashley, when it comes to these sort of things, he doesn't say anything, right? He keeps his mouth on a tight leash. And, you know, fans are confused. Fans are, you know, puzzled. We don't know what to do except, I mean, on one hand, we are happy. We're really happy that, you know, we finally had that chance to move forward. We finally get rid of Mike Ashley. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, with new leadership comes new questions.
Yeah.
You know, how further can this support go? I mean, with how much has been happening so far, we're linked with every player that I think that, you know, every, like, you know, really, really good player that's out there. Every day there's a new rumor, like every single day, right? And it's, I mean, we can't imagine that, right? We're like, we're still trying to get our heads through with it.
It's been quite popular. Sorry to cut you off. It's been quite popular in the past that deals have almost happened and it doesn't happen. So I think Newcastle fans have been burnt so many times, and now it sounds very realistic. But at the same time, based on all these things that happened in the past, the reoccurring instances of, you know, the disappointment, because I think I kind of agree. Mike Ashley is the person that Newcastle is trying to get rid of, but there is no way to get rid of him. So it'll be really interesting to see. But I might, because I think it's time for us to kind of end this podcast, because it's gone, I think, very close to 2 hours now. But the rest of the guys, what is your opinion about this? But I don't expect a very conservative answer. You can take shots at Newcastle and the potential Newcastle fan base that is going to increase in the English Premier League fans in Sri Lanka Facebook group.
Jab.
Newcastle is a universally liked club, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you watch, I read something from the guy who wrote the movie Goal.
Yep.
What was that guy's name? Santiago.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
The reason they picked Newcastle is because any other club would have divided the viewership.
Exactly.
So let's say you chose United, Liverpool, any club, Real Madrid, Barcelona, whatever it is. But Newcastle have always had this organic following. You can't really find anyone who hates Newcastle.
Yeah.
I think it goes
Sunderland, Aston Villa, and Middlesbrough.
But yeah, it's,
and everyone else in another 6 weeks.
Yep,
it's Yeah, it's an all-English institution. And honestly, on a personal level, I'm completely against it because I don't agree with the Saudi regime. I think what they did with Khashoggi was unbelievable violation of human rights, unbelievable contempt to the rule of law.
His partner is actually protesting against the deal, if I'm
just reading that. Yeah, that's definitely
so
happening.
In that sense, in that sense, I'm against it, but it's definitely going to go through. I feel...
Can I make a small clarification there, if possible? Yeah, so the PIF, that's actually some of the questions people have been asking me as well. So the issue here is the PIF is not only going to be involved with Newcastle United, it's already involved with Facebook, so with other companies as well. So, and it's not completely the Crown Prince's funds, it's funds that has come from, you know, taxes and everything like that. I mean, sure enough, we need to have justice ensured and, you know, human rights upheld. But at the same time, you know, blaming an entire country's funds, people who are innocent, would also be a mistake there, because it helps them as well. So I am actually divided on that as well. So we have both ends of the story.
So Rehan, sorry,
that is the PR at the end of the day, bro.
I am actually sorry.
Yeah, go on with it. You go on.
Yeah, so I have, I'm not very versed in this Newcastle takeover, and I know very little about Mike Ashley, and you know, it's up to Rehan to say how passionate Mike Ashley is or is not, right?
He's not, definitely.
I'm not going to comment on that because I don't know about it that much. According to what I think is, at the end of the day, I do understand how passionate fans are of each club. I do understand that the clubs the club should be put first before anyone. It's quite a popular saying by a lot of fans in almost all the clubs. But at the end of the day, I'm not talking with regards to Mike Ashley only, but I don't agree on the point because at the end of the day, if Vajira was the guy behind Newcastle and running Newcastle, probably there are hundreds of decisions that Vajira has to make, right? That might not go well with the fans. But then those are decisions that you have to make, right? In terms of business, right? We sometimes forget that these football clubs are huge organizations that should be run, right? And a lot of financial, non-financial decisions have to be taken. And there are so many things, like for an example, right? Like sometimes even me, sometimes I might get into a conversation like I know what's in Roman Abramovich's mind, but I don't, right? I've never sat in any of their board meetings, right? So sometimes some decisions, I mean, we just hear and read stories, verified information, unverified information, news, YouTube clips, what this fan says, that fan says, and all these. I'm not saying that I know the situation of Mike Ashley and Newcastle. What I'm saying is, sometimes I believe decisions will be taken by clubs, right? And those decisions, even like people like Randhika, right? Imagine Randhika, you do run a company yourself, right? There are some decisions that you take, right, that are not favorable to your stakeholders, right? But those are decisions. Yeah, unpopular decisions. But those decisions sometimes have to be made. Like for example, I mean, people are very passionate about how can the this thing of Newcastle United, their stadium, you know, be renamed to Sports Direct Stadium and all the thing. Probably, I don't know, probably there was a huge business decision made there. Probably, I mean,
that is an advertising deal. I mean, the club
Probably people can say probably people can say, yeah, we've been following this thing for so long. The name should have never been changed. You know, it's in our blood and heart. At the end of the day, for the blood and the heart to be there, there should be a club.
Exactly.
So yeah. For that club to be there, there are some decisions that has to be taken. So yeah. I don't like that. But I'm saying, like, I'm not talking like my cash is thing. What I'm talking like is in term of like some fans, like it's fine that we go there, but sometimes we do forget that this is also a business that has to be run.
Yeah.
Right? Because at the
end of the day,
millions.
Interesting analogy comes that with regard to North London, London rivals, Arsenal.
Yeah.
They renamed the stadium from Highbury to Emirates, and I don't think they won too many things thereafter except for the series of FA Club, FA Cups.
Yeah.
Maybe the spirit does play a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
It's on perspective. Yeah.
I mean, if you ask an Arsenal fan, right, they did change the name from Highbury, right? But then if they didn't do that, right, if they didn't take that advertising deal or whatever that money was on the table, I think Eranje would know better. But then, like, you know, those are business decisions that has to be taken for survival of the club, right? And I feel like it probably Arsenal not winning anything. Probably that spirit factor should have been there for about a year or two. But then after that, I just happen to think it's a lot to do with how it was managed and, you know, so on and so forth. But then my opinion is sometimes business decision has to be made and it has to be made.
Yeah.
The fact that you know, people are talking about you know, spirit, I understand all that. That's fine. You know, me and Amit, we do have the same passion towards Chelsea. We might not talk this way, you know, when we actually talk about Chelsea. But I'm just looking at it in like a different perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Hisham, just quickly, was there something that you had to add to this?
Yes, I think I do agree with Vidusha. You know, sometimes you've got to take those, you know, decisions, and you know, you do not know what goes through the minds of the owners. But I think because of this question, from a Newcastle fan's perspective, I think what Rehan says was, like, Mike Ashley, fine, he has taken these decisions. For example, he changed the stadium's name from St. James's Park to Sports Direct. Okay, so now obviously there's going to be some sort of investment coming in. That's not an easy thing to do. Naming rights brings huge money. But what is the investment that he gave into the club? He didn't bring any club. I mean, okay, fine. They've got through a lot of managers. You know, I don't watch Newcastle matches in particular, but we do occasionally watch.
So
how many managers?
Yeah, my point is, So my point is, it's not what he, like the argument of Newcastle fans. I've spoken a few as well, right? The argument of most Newcastle fans is not, okay, for example, it's their issue is of them changing the name itself. Okay, so like you said, that changing the name brought in money that anyone would have said yes to, right? But him not managing that money well, now that's a different story.
That was the issue, like, basically.
Yeah, it's like for example, if you give that money to an idiot, then, you know, give it to a smart fellow, you know,
I think that is the reason because I think, for example, had he changed the name, which at the end of the day he did, and, you know, invested that money, you know, there'll be some justification that he is doing something for the club. But instead, you know, he didn't invest, nor, you know, he's not protecting the managers who signed for that club. I mean, so many managers just come and go to Newcastle, and, you know, even the investment in players. They sell some of their best players to other clubs, and they go for cheap because of their position. Correct. So I think that is where they lose out.
So, and a question. As far as a Liverpool fan is concerned, it's always better Newcastle than Everton to get the Saudi money. And with QPR to get the
very
money too,
nice way of looking at it. So sorry, guys. I'm coming to the last question right now because I'm really conscious about time. So this is a really interesting question. Once again, you want your opinion. Maybe keep your answers really short to less than a minute. You saw how the football looks like in the Bundesliga after resumption after all with all these COVID-19 restrictions, with the 300 maximum or whatever the restrictions are. Is this what you want to see in the Premier League? And are you happy with it? And would you watch a game like that? I'll let this, the Chelsea boys go.
I mean, definitely I would watch.
Yeah, hardly ideal, but we'll definitely watch.
Yeah, definitely watch. It'll be painful. We'll consume more alcohol than we should because, it'll be...
That will make it more bearable.
Yeah, more bearable. Probably meet more often as clubs, as supporters groups and fans, so that we can kind of create some kind of atmosphere, when we're actually watching the game, because we're not getting any atmosphere from the TV, right?
Yep.
So, that's probably something that, me and Amit can even, look at and be like, and also when we do go to watch these, matches and all these things, we rarely hear what's on TV, we actually enjoy what's like the TVs, the big, the fan shouting and all these things. Mm-hmm. We enjoy that mostly when we are probably watching it alone at home, because we are we are getting every single, we probably don't even hear comments when we are going to place and watching, right? So we probably meet more often because it's more fun, watching with the guys, So that's what I mean.
Interesting. That's very interesting. Liverpool boys, just quickly, what are your thoughts? Would you enjoy the Premier League if it's to be played like that?
No, certainly not. Not enjoy, but I think we don't have any option because we love the Premier League so much. We would definitely watch it, but I don't think we'll certainly enjoy it. But I think if this goes up, if Project Restart goes ahead and it continues, I think over time we will get used to it, because I think this is here to stay. Even if this season concludes, I think next season also there'll be problems like how they're going to plan this out.
Yep.
So I think we'll be forced to get used to it, but it's not the best way to watch a football match. Certainly not the Premier League.
Yeah, Randhika, did you have any?
One is that the stadium would not have the same atmosphere. Second thing is, we'll have to watch it from home all the time, Vidusha. No, you won't be consuming alcohol by the buckets, because you won't be sitting at home and watching, not in the pub.
There's always Zoom, Machan.
Virtual drinks.
I was going to say something about it and then I was advised not to do advertising.
Yeah. No advertising. We still don't have sponsors for this podcast. So if anyone's watching or listening to this, please do sign up as a sponsor, and so that we could keep doing these kind of interesting chats.
And also,
Go on.
Yeah. And also to people watching, one more thing is that, all of us here, even to the new fans, the new Newcastle fans, the newer Newcastle fans, and the newest Newcastle fans. Just like even to the new guys who are coming on this EPL thing, right? Like all of us here, including me, Randhika, Hisham, Vajira, Eranjaya, and all of us, we do have a fantastic time, when we meet up and meet. One of the most memorable meetups that we have done probably at Cinnamon Cheers, when all of us are there. So when all this is, coming back to normal, I would like to really encourage everyone who's tuned into us through the EPL group and all this thing to, gather around, more EPL fans and, to watch matches together. Cause one, the best memories that we've had is when we've actually got together, and, banter here and there and, watch his game. So I would like to throw this, encourage that as well.
Fantastic.
Probably Sham remembers Namit.
Namit will remember the beer tower.
Yeah, Namit.
that was when when Liverpool equalized, he decided to walk away with the beer tower, eh? He decided to leave.
Lifting it like
that. Vajra, you're the one, you're the only one who has the video of that. I haven't seen it in a while.
I can't remember. I think it's still in the group. He starts walking away and I scream at him and I say, come back. He's going with the theater. But okay. So that's fun. So finally, quick question to Eranjaya and Rehan. Your thoughts. Would you enjoy the EPL if it's played the way the Bundesliga is played? If you guys can keep it really quick.
It's going to be better than nothing. So probably enjoy it, but not as much.
Yeah.
And as Vidusha said, it'd have to be like, you know, at a pub or at a friend's place. I mean, even pubs and at friend's place, like, I don't think that's going to be possible either.
Yep.
Friend's place is probably, yeah, but if not, that I hope that there's going to be a solution to that, like, you know, over Zoom or whatever, like, you know, you get friends to watch it along with you. So, yeah, probably yep. We'll have to resort to that.
Yeah, interesting. Rehan, how about you? And if you can keep that quick as well, please.
Yeah, it won't be the same atmosphere. It won't be the same feeling, but it's something better than nothing, right? And I really want to see the boys back there on the field and enjoy football once more while at home.
Nicely said. All right, guys. So that has gone 2 hours over, unfortunately. But I think we had a really interesting conversation. So this podcast will be put out on Spotify, and also the video will be put up as well. So once this goes live, feel free to share with your groups. The Chelsea boys can share it in the Chelsea groups. Liverpool, likewise, Arsenal boys and Newcastle. I know you have about 7 members, but please do share it. It'll grow. So so once again, guys.
It'll grow like the COVID patients. It'll grow. It'll keep going like the COVID patients.
Flatten the curve. So Eranje, thanks for representing the Arsenal fans. Namit and Vidusha, thanks for representing the Chelsea fans. Hisham and Randhika, the Liverpool fans. And Shehan and Feroz couldn't join us today. Shehan would have been representing the Man United fans, and Feroz would have represented the Arsenal fans. And I don't know if I mentioned, but Eranje, thanks for representing the Arsenal, and Rehan for representing Newcastle. So thanks, guys, for your valuable time. Let's definitely regroup again.
Hey. Sorry,
no, that's good. Let's regroup again closer to if time permits. And thank you very much for giving 2 hours of your time. I know you guys are super busy, so I really appreciate this time. And I'm sure the people watching, the fans watching in our groups, or even through the or even organically through Spotify, they'll definitely enjoy this chat. So the video will be available, and the podcast will be available on Spotify as well. So once again, guys, thank you very much for your time. And
yeah, no problem.
Bye.
Thanks for the show. Thanks, Vajira.
Thank you, Sadim.
How is everyone?
Fantastic. And I am stopping my recording name. Now.